That is true. And I do remember that day when I waved to you. I thought, why would he come over? This is a pretty crazy streak. But the respect I get from even like homeless people, people on the street, they really do respect an artist. I mean, it was a bit of a surprise to me too. That was the roughest spot I ever painted. And I still go back to that street. And believe me, nobody hassles me. They see me, they go, what are you doing? And then once they realize an artist, they go, oh, sorry, man. Here we are.
Hey, welcome back to the Fireside Podcast Syndicate. I got an incredible guest today. This is David Lewis Wall. He's from the Toronto area where he paints and creates so many incredible things up there. He actually goes into the courtroom. He's that person that draws the people doing things. You know, who knows what's happening, if they're a criminal or not criminal. He's not judging. He's just painting. Welcome to the show, David. How you doing?
Not bad. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Awesome. Awesome.
Wonderful.
Well, tell me, David, tell me a little bit about you. How long have you been in Toronto? How long have you been painting? I know you're kind of looking to become a guest and to be a podcast host. So we're really excited to kind of see you on your journey here in the community. So tell me a little bit about your background as an artist.
Okay. I was a barber around 35 years ago, and I started to ask people to hang their art. And the next thing you know, I got hooked. I loved what people were showing. And I took up photography, self-taught, went out and did my own thing for 10 years with the old school cameras. And I did it for 10 years. I was getting pretty good at it. Had about 10 pieces published. That was really cool. And then they brought in, you know, digital. And I wasn't ready for it. I rejected it. And I picked up art. So I picked up art. I started to draw and do the most craziest things. 4 years, 5 years into it, I ended up, maybe 3 or 4 years into it, somebody asked me to go to a case in the courthouse. I thought, okay. And the first drawing, it was a sketch with a pencil and a highlighter. And when I sketched it and the person next to me looked exactly like the person next to me, it sort of blew my mind. And I was the only one in the courtroom on the side where was the victim, in a sense. It was her husband who was murdered. And on the other side were like 30 people who did not want their friends to go to jail for the murder and couldn't leave. I stayed around, and 350 drawings later, the case was over. So I fell in love right at that. That case made me fall in love with court. I thought, I have a purpose.
Wow. Drawings later. So is that almost a year that you were doing that?
That was the first awakening for me. I was like, okay, how does this work? And that was just the preliminary. It was like 3 years later, that case was over. So I went to Old City Hall, which I'm sure you know of. So that I started there, and then they moved up to the Superior Court. The Superior Court is where most of the art took place. They had, I think, up to 65 witnesses, and I was painting everybody in the room on top of it. I was a wild man.
That's awesome, because it became passion, right?
Right away, right from the beginning. I was in love with what I was doing. I couldn't believe it. Even today, like, I know my next court case, I look forward to it. I prepare for it, and I'm very involved in the cases that I pick. At the beginning, I really didn't sort it, but I was like, I think I'm going to be a little more organized and deliberate in the way I want to sort of do these cases. So I think I used to do maybe 30 cases a year, 5, 10. It just gets, you overlap, you can't make it to that courtroom, this courtroom.
No, that's awesome. I as an artist, a fellow artist, was just how we connected years ago. I didn't realize you started in 1998, and I started painting in 2006, and Whoa. We kind of connected shortly after that, because I was in that animal rights world, and, you know, doing the ocean art. But I do remember the time being on, I think it was George Street. I'm just walking down here's this guy with an easel painting this a street I was told never to walk down, be honest with you, because there's some scary stuff on that one block. But here you are, David, with an easel, and you're painting the history of Toronto. And I remember you saying, "Hey, Robert." And I'm like, "This guy knows me." You remember that time?
I do. Yeah. I was like, when I saw you on that street, I was like, please, God, I don't want him to be an addict. I admire that guy so much. And I saw you handing, he's cool. He's just helping people. Yeah, it is true. And I do remember that day when I waved to you. I thought, why would he come over? This is a pretty crazy street. But the respect I get from even like homeless people, people on the street, they really do respect an artist. It was a bit of a surprise to me, too. That was the roughest spot I ever painted. And I still go back to that street. And believe me, nobody hassles me. They see me. They go, what are you doing? And then once they realize I'm an artist, they go, oh, sorry, man. Carry on.
That's awesome, you know, to get that respect from the people, which I don't think artists get enough respect as a fellow artist. And, you know, I kind of feel that. And I feel it for a lot of artists, you know. A lot of artists, you know, they're challenged with selling their art. They're challenged with, you know, we're very emotional creatures in what we do, because as you said, you felt passion. You moved into that courtroom. You enjoy it. You're looking forward to that next one. I understand that. A lot of people don't, but I understand that, because that passion comes out in your art. That energy, that, you know, focus, you know, every piece that we put out has our emotional signature on it, right? Don't you agree?
I do. For instance, this piece back here, first I found the canvas. It was so crazy. On the back of it is this print, like it's a wild print. And I thought this could work as a canvas. But, you know, the image itself, like, is very powerful. And it came to me and I thought, they were meant to be together. I don't know if you can guess who the judge is. If you want, I can tell you.
Yeah, tell me. Tell the listeners.
It's pretty fascinating. It's Marvin Gaye. And when I didn't really know him, and I looked into him and realized his father killed him. And I thought, that guy seeks justice. And so far, I've been so happy with watching him now, because I really had no idea. I heard his music when I was a kid, but had no idea of how he died and how amazing he was as a singer. It is so incredible. And I'm glad that he's going to be, you know, I think I draw judges all the time, but not in my spare time. And I was fascinated with the image, you know, from England. And I do believe them. Creepy, but that's when one on that every day.
Yeah, no, it's sad to hear about Marvin Gaye. I think his dad, he was a person of the church, and Marvin Gaye's song Sexual Healing was what his father didn't like, and he went to his home and murdered him, sadly, just because of that song. He felt his son was singing the devil's words. You know, wow. I remember that actually, because I grew up with him, right? You know, we're both probably the same age or decade. And he was like the guy who sang when we were kids, right?
That's right. I was born in 61. When were you born?
Oh, I'm 72. So you're a little older than me.
Oh, I thought so. I thought so.
So tell me, David, you know, you got a lot.
We have lots of time to do art now.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You're looking for the next what?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the next 20 years. I plan on retiring when I'm 80. And the work I want to do in the courthouse, it's pretty mapped out. I can't tell you how incredible it is to have this clarity. I never thought I'd have that clarity when it comes to my profession, whatever it is I'm doing. But I feel it. And there's certain things I want to do in the next 20 years. So around 80, I think I'll retire from at least the courthouses, because yeah, what can you do? You can only, show so much about how your city works to a point. And because I'm a late starter in the arts, I believe, and also a career like this, I've never thought I'd have a career as a court artist. That is just mind-blowing. I love the title, and I believe I'm the only one in Canada doing it. The other people who do it are usually hired from the press, and usually they are the press. And they go after the one image of the person accused. I follow the cases. I follow the way people interact in the room, who comes in the room, you know.
So you're actually getting paid for this because your passion brought you there. And next thing you know, they hired you to actually continue it on?
No. What happened was, at the beginning, I went in as an activist. It was somebody who was, it was a group I belonged to. And they said, somebody needs your help in the courthouse. Would you go there? And that's how I started. And I was a little bit more, I think, aggressive in the beginning, but very, you know, not enough that I would get kicked out of the courtroom. I followed all the rules, did what I had to do. But yeah, so it took me a while and I didn't know what to do with the art. And I looked around at different archives. And one day I walked into the Ontario Archives. And I'm telling you, it was the most amazing feeling walking in there. And in less than an hour, they said, we want everything that you produce. And I was like, for the rest of your life. I was like, wow. So because I donated it to the archives, it ended up, in turn, it looks like I work for the Crown, which I don't. But the Ontario Archives is the Crown. And they gave me a beautiful little thing that explains what it is I'm doing. I got, you know, the thank you from Her Majesty at the time. But I get a tax receipt. So selling my art and, you know, that type of thing, it'll pay off one day. But no, they don't pay me. I'm still a member of the public. And that's really what I want to do. I want to remain the member of the public. If you're involved, you know, I've had situations where they wanted to kick everybody out of the room and came up with everything, reporters, this and that. They couldn't kick me out because I was the member of the public. The member of the public, we have power in the courtroom. They don't have jurisdiction over us as long as we don't disrupt.
That's awesome. That's story. Awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. Now, I'm wondering if you could probably get a grant for what you're doing, right? Because of the connections that you've created, the archives, the, you know, where you're creating history for the city of Toronto, there could be a way that you can get a grant on an annual basis to actually help you keep doing what you're doing, right? Have you ever looked into that?
I have, but you know what? I think I've tried around maybe 5 or 6 times. I will continue trying, but it's all about how you present it. So far, nothing. Yeah, in that area. Once I did get a grant, it was a $10,000 grant to do 6 paintings of Old City Hall. So it was okay. It was okay. But no, when I do ask for grant to maybe help support me going into court and documenting, no, I don't get any response back. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not wording it right. Maybe I don't have enough people, you know, backing me up on it. That's what I can do. I can say, hey, here's a recommendation from Robert.
Now, I think you got some credentials for sure. You may have to search out someone who's a professional grant writer and see if they can help you find something that you don't know is out there. Because I think a lot of businesses and companies actually will have grants. And if people don't apply, that money doesn't go anywhere. So sometimes you can apply for these grants and you may be the only one applying because no one else knows about it. So there could be some opportunities out there, but I think what you're doing, David, I'm proud of you, first off, because you're doing something so niche down. And like you said, you know, you may be the only one in Canada, right, doing this. And I think that says a lot for you and what you're doing for credibility. Right. And the stuff you're documenting is real. These are real cases. This isn't imaginary. This isn't from your head. This is real stuff. You're putting time into this. And I always, you know, I've said to you over the years, you got to show this stuff somewhere. You got to showcase it. You got to put stuff out. People got to see this. You just have to find a way to get maybe the right politician or the right governor or the right somebody that says, hey, I like what you're doing. Let's see if we can connect you somewhere and really have a massive showing. In Toronto, I could see it being a hit with more of that wealthy and higher up that would really take, you know, respect to what you're doing, because I definitely see something for you, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. One of the things this year, because of the cases that I chose, I do plan on having a show showing this stuff. I don't know why I was so afraid of doing it or even talking about it till after the pandemic, something to tell the stories, to go public with your art. There's no reason why people can't see it. It is in the public's interest. And I do plan on having a show because they opened up a mega courtroom in Toronto just this year. It completely inspires me. The place is magnificent. You would not believe how this court looks. And most of the cases I'm doing for the year will be centered around it. And I'm also planning on painting the architect that I'm seeing in front of me. And I plan on calling that show Crime Pays, as it has different meanings because it's coming from the courthouse. I really look forward to doing it. The art is really coming along. It's a lot different now that I know that I'm going to show it publicly.
No, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you, man. And I do see definitely a direction for you. When you get your podcast started, I'm sure there's a lot of incredible, well, I know there's a lot of incredible artists in Toronto itself, which would really, you know, fill up your time on another angle and really get you out there within that community base that you may not have been able to reach. Like, you know, the graffiti artists, you know, man, there's so many art festivals. There's so much stuff there in Toronto that I love. And I'm sure all big cities have it. But me, having a heart for Toronto, you know, and how we met, I definitely, you know, that's where my art grew, was in Toronto. That's where I was exposed to things and you know, just blossomed just like you did, from barber to courtroom artist. Me, I was just from... just an artist looking for something, and boom, into an activism, veganism, moving to Toronto, New York, or moving to the States. Like, it just, Toronto explodes. And, you know, I can see a lot of great things for you, David. Now, I want to appreciate you for being in our community, sharing your information. You got some great stuff that I'm sure we can get you on some more podcasts as you start learning how to grow your own podcast, the proper, you know, stuff you need as you start building and start getting your own guest on there. I would love to be one of your guests, you know, when you do get that all going. Absolutely. We can talk art. We can move forward and do all that. But tell me, what is your focus for your podcast? Do you have a name? Do you have anything like that going on?
Yeah, I am thinking, you know, just calling it Dave. I did make up that name to use it only for my art. And, you know, I was listening to one of your other guests, and it could have been somebody else. I've been listening to so many podcasts in the last week to try to have a little more knowledge around it, even though I have listened to a lot of podcasts. Russell Brand, he's one of my favorites. I love the way he has it set up. But yeah, to do the court art, to talk about that type of thing, I'm already thinking, the people who are involved in these court cases, the accused, are going to be people on my show. I don't know if you're hearing about it, but Rebel News, David Menzies, I ended up following him just a week ago. He's been arrested the second time. So I thought, that could be a guy who could be on my show. Maybe people in the courthouse, maybe judges, maybe police officers, people involved in the court system. And yeah, it's all over the place who it is that I'm thinking about being on the show. So yeah, I have a feeling it's going to come very easy. And definitely having you on the show would be amazing. I would love that for sure. I really love your art and the way you go about it. Drawing portraits is something else. When I draw them in court, the last thing I want is somebody to come up and say, "Can I see?" You're really full of tension, but most times I get a pretty good reaction, and I'm sure you understand that. You're painting someone and you know they're going to see it. That's why people stay away from it, because they don't like to be judged, or they are a little fragile in that area. But I think I got tough skin when it comes to that, because it is what it is, especially if it's a 2-minute sketch in court.
And 2-minute sketches are not easy. I've been to those art places where we get to have the 2 minute, 30 second, 5 minute poses, and you got to be fast. That's why I really respect with what you're doing and how you fell into it. I didn't know. I think that's awesome. And the other good thing that I know, because I don't sell my art, I found a way to give it and it gives back. You know, I got back skills and stuff. You, I don't see you selling it either, because it's your passion to do what you're doing. And I really want to say, I love your idea of the guest. Now, I'm not sure if I am the one that would be on your show, because I don't want to be a part of the court system in any way, to be honest with you. I've been in there, don't like it, you know, in that case. But I think, you know, interviewing those, you know, people that are connected to the art that you're creating, the stories on a different level, it's almost you're creating your own media around your artwork, which really will create a buzz about who you are. I think that's a fabulous idea. I think it's a great plan that you're moving towards. And like I said, I want to say thank you for being on the show today and sharing that, David.
You're welcome. It's been great being on your show. And I look forward to all the classrooms. I'm navigating myself around it. And I'm so happy you set it up. It was like, I came up with the idea. I said, I want to start this. And the next thing you know, you announced it on Facebook. And I thought, okay, that's a good sign. So thank you.
Absolutely. And this was another great Fireside Podcast Syndicate with David Lewis Wall of Toronto, Ontario. Thank you again, David. I appreciate you. And we're looking forward to seeing you more in the community and interacting and getting your own podcast started. Have a good one today in Toronto. I wish I was there.
Thank you, Rob.